compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
And away we go with hour three of the program, 888-914-9149. Please note that tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central, you can join Relevant Radio for the annual Mass commemorating Our Lady's apparition at the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help in Champion, Wisconsin, that took place in 1859 when Our Lady appeared identifying herself as the Queen of Heaven who prays for the conversion of sinners. Bishop David Ricken of Green Bay will be the celebrant. And if you normally watch or listen to the daily Mass at noon Central on Relevant Radio, please note that the special broadcast of the apparition anniversary Mass will be at 11 a.m. instead of at noon. You can listen on your local Relevant Radio station, or you can watch online at relevantradio.com or through the Relevant Radio app. Everybody is invited. Let's go to Elaine in Southampton, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning. I have a question for you, since you're referred to as the Walking Bible.
I am.
On the Book of Enoch.
Uh-huh.
My son is having a lot of issues. He's had a mental breakdown. He's heavily into the conspiracy theories. Right now, he's been placed in a hospital for mental health. And one of his biggest things is he walks around saying God's talking to him. I mean, he's displaying different personalities, and it's all revolved around God. So I've been trying to help him through this, and I gave him my father's Bible, and one of the questions he threw at me was the Book of Enoch, which, honestly, I had never heard of. He wanted to know why the Catholics took it out of the Bible, and I had no answer for him. And the more I Google, the more confused I get. So I thought you would be a good person to ask.
Well, the reason is that it was never in the Bible. It wasn't taken out of the Bible. It was never in the Bible. So it wasn't regarded as canonical. It is a book that's recognized for its antiquity. It's a prophetic book that talks about the end of the world and things that will happen. But it was not. It's not. If you open your Catholic Bible, you won't find it there, because it was not accepted as canonical. So that's the first thing to know. It wasn't as though the Catholic Church said, "Oh, I don't want that on my karmic records," and they took that out of the Bible. That didn't happen. And as is the case with many other early but not genuine writings, there are many things that are said in those writings that the church did not accept. Therefore, that was, I guess you could say, one of the reasons why the church would rule out certain books as being considered for the canon. So it sounds like his problems far exceed what is written in this book. And, you know, like many other books that purport to say things that will happen in the end of the world, as this book does, his difficulty, it sounds like, is not so much with the book, but he may be fixating on that. Does it sound right to you, like he's kind of fixating or obsessed?
Yes, he's definitely in that rabbit hole everybody's been talking about right now with everything that went on in the world and last year, and he lost his best friend, his brother-in-law, and he just had a mental collapse this year. And it's been a real struggle.
Yeah.
I don't know that I can... And right now I'm not even allowed to see or talk to him, but...
I'm sorry to hear that. I don't think there's anything I could tell you that will make his situation better, nor do I think there's anything that you could tell him about the Book of Enoch that's going to help him. Sounds like the kind of help he needs will be clinical and psychiatric. But I do hope and pray that he gets better and soon. And in the meantime, I hope that you can find some consolation in your own life. Thank you for the call, Elaine. Let's go to Mary now in Redding, California. Hello, Mary.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yes. My question is this. I am reading Purgatory by the author that you suggested. I'm halfway through the book, and Pope Leo XIII had a comment or something was said through him or from him that said, "No flowers at a funeral." Can you explain that to me?
You know, I've heard this before, and I don't know the origin of it. It may be that Pope Leo XIII said that. I just don't have any hard data on that, so I couldn't tell you one way or the other. I know that flowers are customary at a funeral for the condolences for those who are alive. They don't do anything one way or the other for the person who has died. They're more as a, you know, a sign of sympathy for the family. But I'd have to do a bit of research to see if Pope Leo XIII said that. Now, if it says that in the book, I'm going to assume that he did say that. But I don't think that there is a rubric that prohibits flowers at a massive Christian burial or at a funeral. I'd like to double check it, but I don't think currently, at least, that there's any prohibition on that.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, that was a little disturbing when I read it. And like I said, it is chapter 20 in the second section. I'm past the halfway mark, and that's mm-hmm. when I picked it up. So thank you. I just wanted your take on that. Thank you.
Sure thing, Mary. I'm glad I can sort of kind of be of help to you on that issue. There are things I just have to do some research on, and that will be added to my list now. Let's go to, now, I think in Italy, it's pronounced Fabiola, but I've also heard people say Fabiola. So Fabiola and Downey, welcome to the program. How do you say your first name?
Hi, Patrick. Good morning. My name is Fabiola.
Fabiola. Very good. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you for taking my call. It's an honor to speak with you.
Thank you.
Just really quickly, I have four children. Three of them are adults. One of them still, you know, she's a child still. My second oldest son, I have to add, they were all brought up in the faith. They were Catholic. They are all brought up in the Catholic Church. But our second oldest is 25. Recently, he's been having questions regarding, you know, our faith, regarding Catholicism. And he's been watching, he's been speaking to my husband and myself and sharing that he's been watching a lot of videos on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling a lot of these videos that he's watching are Protestant videos from, mm-hmm. you know, pastors and, you know, people that speakers. So my question is there a book that maybe you can tell me about or that I can buy him or get him or just in something that I can direct him towards so that he can have his questions answered and not stray mm-hmm. away from our faith?
Yeah, absolutely. I've devoted the better part of my life to doing and trying to make those things available. And there are other people who have as well. So in terms of like a big resource, I would recommend Catholic Answers, and their website is catholic.com. They've got a tract or an article on practically any possible argument that he may have seen or heard about. And so that would be an easy way to get those things. Now, as far as a book is concerned, I would recommend perhaps more than any other book, a book called Surprised by Truth. It seems that lately this issue comes up so frequently that I'm mentioning it more frequently than I ever used to. But this book is a compilation of 11 conversion testimonies by former Protestants who became Catholic. And in some cases, they were virulently anti-Catholic. So they cycle through, each of them in their own way, just about all the major and many of the minor arguments against the Catholic Church, and they show how what they once thought was the case actually isn't. And so were there time, I could give you many different stories about people who had dramatic conversions after reading that book. It's really astonishing. So I edited the book, you know, as far as full disclosure is concerned, so I do have that connection. But those stories are not my stories. They're the stories of the people who wrote them are very powerful. So if your son is interested in looking at all different sides of the issue, I'd start with that book. Then a second book I can recommend is a book I wrote called Why Be Catholic? And it's the subtitle is 10 Answers to a Very Important Question. And so I wrote that book for basically for skeptics, people who look at the Catholic Church with suspicion or skepticism. And maybe your son is moving more into that category. So that would be a second book that I could recommend. If he wanted to compare, let's say, what the Catholic Church teaches with what the early Christians believed, I would recommend two books. One is called The Four Witnesses by Rod Bennett. And the second one is called The Fathers Know Best. And that book was edited by Jimmy Akin. And that is a one-volume compilation that's by doctrine. So the Eucharist, confession, baptism of infants, honoring Mary and the saints, the Mass is the sacrifice, you name it, all of the different Catholic doctrines and even customs as well like calling priests father. What did the church father say about that? And so he's going to be reading. So let's say he objects to the Catholic Church's teaching on, let's say, Mary's perpetual virginity. Well, that book will show him that the early Christians believed wholeheartedly in Mary's perpetual virginity with quotes from these major figures. So that would be a very helpful resource to bring the church fathers into the decision or into the process. I could go on and on and on, Fabiola, but those I think would be a great place to start. I would also get the Dr. Scott Hahn conversion testimony on YouTube. It's called Conversion of a Protestant Minister, and you want to get the original one. I know because I'm the one who set up that talk back when Scott Hahn was not known. People had never heard of him before, and I was working at Catholic Answers, and I had gotten to know Scott in, I guess it was early 1989, and so we brought him out to California from Joliet, Illinois, where he was at the time, and we set up a parish event for him at St. Francis de Sales Parish in Riverside, California, and about 40 people showed up because they had never heard of this guy, but they were interested in the topic. So he gave a one-hour presentation on why he became a Catholic, and he previously was a very anti-Catholic Calvinist. So he probably, I'm guessing your son probably is maybe dabbling into some of the areas that Scott Hahn used to specialize in his anti-Catholicism. And in that one-hour presentation, he just really revolutionized the minds of so many people who heard this. That presentation went into the millions of tapes and then CDs, and it's all around the world, and it's available for free on YouTube. So that would also be a very helpful thing.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Like I said, he has questions, and he has shared with us that he has been on YouTube, and, you know, he'll say, oh, have you guys watched this guy or this guy? And we're like, my husband and I look at each other like, wait a minute, that's not, you know. So right. We're happy that he's, you know, trying to get back into his faith, his roots, but we don't want him to stray away in the process.
No, not at all. No, you don't. You don't want that.
Yeah.
So
he actually just...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, he actually just visited a parish not too long ago, and he did share with us that he spoke with a priest, and he kind of talked to the priest there and said, you know, I haven't been in the church, you know, in a while, you know, but, you know, I'm here. The priest shook his hand and he said, Mom, I've never felt what I felt when he shook my hand and welcomed me home. He said, I started crying. He said, I was in tears just by, you know, by that gesture alone. He said, so mm-hmm. I think that's what made him, you know, feel like, okay, I got to get back, you know. But I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. And I'm going to look into these books, definitely.
You got it. Happy to help. Maybe you can get him to start listening to this program. We hear very often that people maybe who are far away from the church or not never even Catholic, when they listen to the program, it helps them. So please encourage him to do that. Thank you, Fabiola. I appreciate it. 888-914-9149. How about Helena now, listening in Danville, California?
Hi, Patrick.
Hello.
I was calling because Hi, can you hear me? Thank you.
You're welcome. All I was doing was responding to your hello. You said, hi, Patrick. I said hello back. I can hear you. It's good to have
Thank
you on the
you.
Program. Sure.
I was calling. I've been working from home since March of 2020 due to the shutdown here in California. And I noticed then that my father's Alzheimer's disease had tremendously declined. I mean, it got worse. I've been working at home this whole time. I now have 24/7 care responsibility for him, and I work from home. The only time I leave the house basically is to take my son to and from school. Mm-hmm. I have no opportunity to go to Mass. The priest at our church in St. Isidore's said that I am relieved from the obligation due to my responsibilities at home. I have no time to myself, and it's really disturbing because I feel like I'm losing my religion. I don't feel like I can do anything at home because my time is not my own. What can I do?
Well, the priest is certainly correct. Given the demands on your time, you don't have the freedom to go to Mass that you otherwise would have. And that would, it's such a shame that there's no other way that you can do this. Could you you mentioned that you take your son to school. Is he old enough to stay with your father when you go to Mass? Would that be possible?
Yes, possibly, but it depends. There are certain things. I mean, he can't be left alone for very long. And,
right. I'm just thinking that if your son was old enough. Sure, and I understand. You have to be vigilant. I recognize that. So that makes a lot of sense. But if your son is old enough that you could be gone for an hour and a half and maybe make sure that your father has had his meal or that he's maybe going to take a nap at that time, so it'd be less impactful for your son, I would try that. I mean, see if that works. Then you can go to Mass and you can get out. And I should think that there are other times of the week when you could do the same thing, or even other times of the day, every day, where you could do that. I would recommend starting there. And maybe if it's not always your son, maybe there are others. Maybe you have a sympathetic neighbor who would be trustworthy to come over and sit with your father while you got out, you know, go get your go get your hair done, or go grocery shopping, or go take a walk in the park or something and recharge your batteries. In addition to that, of course, I would say listen to Relevant Radio. We have ways of helping you stay strong in your faith. And throughout the day, of course, you have the Rosary, the Family Rosary Cross of America. In the evening, we've got the Divine Mercy Chaplet in the afternoon with Drew, and the Mass at noon Central. So these are all things that you could tap into to help. What about good reading? I mean, do you read the Bible? Do you have some good Catholic books that you can read when you're tending to your dad?
No, actually not right now, but I am really interested in looking more into Marianology, and I have a friend. I think I need to send him an email because I know he has a lot of books that he would recommend.
Yeah. If you want to get started, I have a lot of articles that are absolutely free. If you go to relevantradio.com/Patrick, click on the link where it says links, and you'll see one for articles. And there are probably 36 articles, many of which are on topics like Mary, and they're free. They're PDFs. You can download them and print them out or whatever you'd like to do. And that can get you going. And, you know, there are books there as well, but you can also shop for books at your local Catholic bookstore if you have one there in Danville. But I just want to encourage you, don't feel like you're trapped. Don't feel like you're losing your religion, as you put it, because it doesn't have to happen. That does not have to happen. And I can sense that you're motivated to not make it happen, you know, so that you do retain your faith and grow in your faith. These are all things that I can recommend to you.
Thank you.
And really, you can start doing them right now. You could do them today.
You're right. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay, Helena. And we're here for you, okay? Don't forget that. I'm here for you. Drew's here for you. We're all here for you. And we want to hear from you. So if you feel like you're getting to your wit's end, give us a call. And we, you know, we can walk through it together. But Relevant Radio is here for you every step of the way, and we don't want to see you drift away, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Well, quick timeout, and we'll come right back. We have plenty of other phone calls waiting to get on the air, and one of them could be yours if you call in at 888-914-9149. I'll be right back. Today's programming sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare. Information on their health plans available at CatholicHealthShare.com. That's CatholicHealthShare.com.
We've been waiting for a long time.
Compelling insights.
Yes, we've been waiting for a long, long time.
Unpredictable conversations.
We've been waiting for a long time.
Encouragement for your day.
We ain't gonna wait no more. We're getting ready to rock and roll.
It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
All right. Love the energy here. 888-914-9149. About half an hour to go in the program, so there's still time for you to get in on the action by calling 888-914-9149. Let's go to Annette now in Austin, Texas. Good morning, Annette.
I'm going to talk. Sorry. Hello?
Hi there.
Good morning. Yeah. Hi, this is Annette. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it. Sorry. I wanted, in one of your previous shows, you had mentioned something about resources or a book on, when you cremate a body, you know, you have to bury it in the ground and not keep it like on a mantel place. And so I was just wondering if you could provide those resources again, or that book.
Sure. Well, you don't have to bury it in the ground. You can, but you don't have to bury the urn in the ground. There are places in Catholic cemeteries, for example, where you can put the urn in a niche, and a wall typically is where it would be. And that way you would be placing the body in a dignified place where people can come and pay the respects and such. If you want to get the whys and wherefores, go to this website. Yes. It's usccb.org.
Okay.
Okay. And when you get there, that's the U.S. Bishop's website. Just type in the word cremation, and that will pull up the church's norms on what to do. And it's all right there.
Perfect. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I hope you have a wonderful Friday, and God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye. Let's go now to Annette in South San Francisco. Hi, Annette.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. This is
You're welcome.
An honor. I just wanted to share recently that a priest who works in a local, his mother's in a local rest home, you know, Laguna Honda in San Francisco. Okay. But anyway, they said that they have a special facility that has for memory care, you know, Alzheimer's and so forth. Mm-hmm. But he had gone up there with it to visit his mother, and he was getting a tour. And what happened is this gentleman told him that that, you know, they have a mass once a month. The father said, well, you know, why would they have a mass if they have memory loss? But this non-Catholic who was doing the tour said, because the fact when he's seen them, when they see the elevation of the host and they get engaged in the mass, there is some recognition there. And that took the priest back. So I would like to suggest to the young lady I feel so badly for her. I did a lot of streaming masses, and I still do streaming masses, even though I'm able to attend. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe she could share it on YouTube or something, you know, that her and her father could sit with, maybe with her son.
Good idea.
And I don't know if that's any helpful.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Now, keep in mind, I mean, not that you don't know this, but maybe some people don't know this, that mass is completely appropriate for everybody. And so even if somebody is, let's say, mentally retarded or in a state of mind that's not, all there. I mean, it's still, mass is good for people. It's spiritually beneficial to them. So by all means, we should never deprive those with Alzheimer's or other afflictions of mass, because it's good for them regardless of their mental state. They may not be able to follow along, but it's still good for them. So I'm glad you raised this point.
And the Eucharistic minister can come and visit him as well, the homebound. They do that as well. So hopefully she'll find an avenue. And thank you for taking my call. And I just thought that was very touching that priest would share that even he, you know, it opened his mind to, yes, it's beautiful, indeed, you know, what the mass can do.
Yes, indeed. Well, that's good. And I'm glad you brought it up, Annette. Thank you. Let's go now to Anthony in Pensacola, Florida. Good morning, Anthony. Hello, Anthony. All right. I guess Anthony's not ready to go on yet. Maybe Anthony's got stage fright. But that's okay. It's easy to be on the Patrick Madrid show. A few things I want to get to. We have some other calls that we're getting screened here. This is fascinating. This is something maybe you don't typically think of when you consider the population, because we assume that it's sort of evenly matched between men and women. But the Daily Star has got an article about how men could soon vastly outnumber women as cultural preference sparks a boom. And you may say, a boom in what? Well, a boom in sex-selective abortions. If there is any doubt that we're living in a man's world, the article says, there soon won't be, because men are set to vastly outnumber women. And this is not a good thing. At least that's according to a new study that predicts a gender imbalance within decades, with sex-selective abortions and cultural preferences toward boys reducing the number of girls being born. The research published in BMJ Global Health said that abortions of female babies caused around 45 million births to disappear between 1970 and 2017. More boys have been born in several countries across Southeast Europe and in Asia since the 1970s, with China and India accounting for 95% of the disappeared births. The disappeared births, of course, being the girls. If these trends continue, researchers fear that more than a third of the world's population will suffer from a lack of women for the foreseeable future. And by that, it means not only lack of women, but lack of wives, the ability to get married and reproduce. Dr. Feng Qing Chao, lead author of the study, called for, quote, broader legal frameworks to ensure gender equality. And this would help prevent a marriage squeeze where many men in affected countries are left single due to a lack of potential partners. He predicts that at least 4.7 million female births will be lost by 2030 if things don't change. So what are we now, nine years away from that? Dr. Chow fears that the consequences of this female birth deficit could be more serious than simply making it harder to find a girlfriend. He said fewer than expected females in a population could result in elevated levels of antisocial behavior and violence and may ultimately affect long-term stability and social sustainable development. Now, there's something about that that we're already seeing now, and it is, I'm trying to remember the acronym. It's what is the acronym? Sorry, tell me if this, because let's see if it's jogged your memory, because they've been in the news lately. These guys who, there's an acronym for them where they're, it's either unintentional virgin or they don't want, they want to be married. They want to have a wife or a girlfriend, but yet they seem shut out from the competition because of their looks or whatever. Does that ring a bell, Cyrus? There's an acronym for that. And I don't remember what it is.
Nerd?
No, no, it's,
I can say that 'cause I'm a nerd, so it's okay.
So you're in the nerd zone. I don't think you're that much of a nerd. It's something like unintentionally virgin or something like that. But the reason I mention these guys is because they have been involved with a rash of killings, shootings, people who go on a rampage because, you know, why does he get a girlfriend and I don't get a girlfriend? What is it that, you know, that they do apparently in some cases is they take out their aggression violently. Involuntary virgins, I guess that might be another one. Now, keep in mind, virginity is a beautiful state in life, and it is, you know, Jesus himself was a virgin, and the Blessed Virgin Mary was a virgin. So I don't mean to suggest that there's something wrong with virginity. There's everything right with it. Some people are called to marriage. Probably most are. Some people choose virginity, but there are those who, in a social sense, in a secular social sense, they refer to themselves as involuntary virgins, and that is because they don't want to be single, and that yet they find themselves single. And so in some cases, some of these people actually pull out a gun and start victimizing other people, and they've blamed it on that issue before. So I see that how that could tie into the story here. So once again, this doctor says fewer than expected females in a population could result in elevated levels of antisocial behavior and violence and may ultimately affect long-term stability and social sustainable development. Researchers use data from 204 countries to predict different sex imbalance possibilities. They hope that predicting these trends will allow us to plan for these consequences. Pakistan and Nigeria, for example, were among several countries expected to see the amount of female births fall over the next few years, although the trends are predicted to slow down after about 20 years. The main issue, according to researchers, is working out whether men will continue to outnumber women and whether new countries could soon see a decline in female births. The United Nations categorizes sex selective abortions as harmful practices alongside child or forced marriages, and they have a variety of other problems. The study proposed that better data collection and wider education could solve these problems. I have a better idea. How about better than data collection and better than these other Band-Aids? How about just don't abort babies? That seems to me to be the quick, easy answer to this problem. Stop aborting babies. And definitely stop aborting babies on the basis of, well, I don't want a girl, I want a boy. Devastating consequences can and are arising as a result of this. So how about it, guys? Let's just stop doing the abortions. It'd be so much easier that way. 888-914-9149. You know what's funny is we've got full phone lines. We just got to get some of these callers screened, guys. Hey, Cyrus, I want to talk with you about Dave Chappelle. You and I were kind of discussing that a little bit earlier today. And you had brought up to me the fact that he is on the hot seat right now because he, in his latest comic special called The Closer, which is on Netflix, he has criticized LGBTQ people. And I've seen Dave Chappelle before. I think he's a funny guy. He's certainly talented. He's foul-mouthed, and that's kind of what drives me the other direction. I don't like to be subjected to that. But he is genuinely funny. And I'm guessing, Cyrus, that you have probably seen some of his act over the years, right?
I've seen it all. I cannot recommend him because of his foul mouth. And he has the often poorly written Catholic joke in his act, and it's kind of a tired trope that
Against priests or
exactly you know what it is. Everybody does. But other than that, you know, I think he's really funny, and it's unfortunate that he cusses and uses the N-word as much as he does. I mean, it's every other word. I cannot recommend it, but the guy certainly makes headlines.
Yeah, he does. Well, this is in the headlines right now, according to the Washington Post. This special of his called The Closer, it is gaining him accusations of quote-unquote homophobia and quote-unquote transphobia. I don't accept those terms for this reason. That implies fear. If you're phobic about something, you're fearful of it. And it's a misnomer in the case of many people who don't fear homosexuality, or they don't fear people who are of the same sex living together. They just disagree with it. And yet they're called homophobes or transphobes. It's an epithet that doesn't really have much meaning, if you ask me. So in his series, he makes fun of LGBTQ people. He says nothing. Well, he gives an example. He says somebody called DaBaby, and I have no idea who that is. You probably do, Cyrus.
It's a rapper.
A rapper, okay. So he has been blacklisted from music festivals because he made a joke about HIV. He says that somebody punched the LGBTQ community right in the AIDS. So that was his joke. Ha ha, that's so funny. But that was his joke. So he apologized for it. And he did the groveling apology tour, and it didn't matter because he's now blacklisted from music festivals because he made this joke. So Dave Chappelle says nothing bad happened to his career. He says, do you see where I'm going with this?
Well, so what happened is...
He shot somebody, too. That was the other part.
Right. He gets canceled for hurting somebody's feelings, but...
But he shoots somebody at a Walmart.
And killing them.
Yeah, and the person, and he doesn't suffer any job losses.
Yeah. He's not canceled.
I don't understand why he didn't go to jail for that.
I don't either. And I didn't follow DaBaby's story enough to really know what's going on with that particular, incident.
To your point, Cyrus. So that guy, he gets canceled because of a joke, but he suffers no real loss as a result of killing somebody in the shooting.
Right.
And so Dave Chappelle says nothing bad happened to his career. Do you see where I'm going with this? In our country, you can shoot and kill somebody, but you better not hurt a gay person's feelings.
Right.
So now they're coming after him, and they're trying to get this thing canceled because the gay people are angry or the trans people are angry. And so my take on this, and maybe we'll have to extend the conversation until after the break, Cyrus, but my take on this is, okay, the way comedy is today, very different, I guess, from how it used to be when it was all fun. Now it's mean, and so much of comedy is skewering people, whether it's racial groups or individual people, what have you, and somebody's going to get offended. Catholics get offended when you make a Catholic joke. Gay people get offended when you make a gay person's joke. Trans people get offended, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that there's really only a couple of possibilities here if you're going to be consistent and not hypocritical. If being offended is enough to cancel somebody's comedy tour or their recording contract or their book deal or what have you, then that should apply to every group that is offended by anything, in which case comedy goes away. because you can't do comedy, at least the way it's done nowadays, without offending somebody. So I don't see that as a tenable, viable way of going about it. The other option would be people just, hey, if you're offended, tough luck. If it offends you, hey, Catholics, if it offends you, tough luck. That'd be the only way to be consistent. If you're going to say that to LGBTQ plus people, if you're offended, tough luck, that, you know, that's the same beverage that everybody would have to drink. That's the only other option I can see, other than saying nobody is allowed to be offended, therefore we can't say anything that might offend somebody. I don't see that happening. But you know what? I think the third way is the most likely way that it will happen, and that is there will be classes of people about whom you cannot say anything offensive. And if you do, you will be canceled. But all the other people, like those Catholics, for example, fair game. And you can, what's the term that's used nowadays, Cyrus? Dragging? Or I see dunking and dragging. You can drag them all you want, and it doesn't matter because they are a class of people who are fair game. So they can get dragged. We're overdue for a break, I think. So let's do that, and we'll come right back, right after this.
Compelling insights, unpredictable conversations, encouragement for your day. It's the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, Lunger, let's do it.
Yeah, Lunger, let's do it. Let's do it. Hey, we had a little bit more we wanted to do on the Dave Chappelle story, Cyrus. And you had brought up another little wrinkle in the story that's really a tragic example of the insanity of people who say, I'm offended, and then they go after somebody in a wicked way, typically online. So why don't you bring that up?
Yeah, so in this stand-up special that the trans community once canceled, he brings up a story of his friend, a comedian, that was a trans woman. So that's a man that identifies as a woman, right?
Right.
Okay, so, and he calls him she, and he calls him by her female name. It's so confusing.
It gets confusing.
It gets, yes. But anyway, he, in his last special, he was talking about J.K. Rowling and how she was blacklisted mm-hmm. because she said, you know, gender matters. Gender is a fact. Right. Only a woman can give birth. We all were birthed by a woman.
Well, she said something like that women's rights has no meaning if there is no such thing as a woman.
Right. And right. It's, she's not wrong.
Right.
And her
$58 billion canceled out the cancel culture that tried to cancel her.
Yeah, she owns, she's too rich to
right.
get rid of.
Right.
So he made a joke about that in his last special, and the trans community went after him and they tried to cancel Dave Chappelle. And Dave Chappelle's trans friend tweeted in support saying, Dave Chappelle is not transphobic. I'm his friend. We're friends. And the trans community then
went. They were so vicious to this.
They were vicious to this person. It's so vicious that he committed suicide 7 or 8 days after being bombarded with nonstop harassment from his own community, from the people that should have each other's back, right? But instead, he said something they didn't like, so they went after him.
Yeah, it's the extreme bullying that for some people they don't see any way out, and so like he did, he took his own life because it was too much.
Yeah, it's really really sad. I'm just
and that's oh, go know, ahead, I'm go. Sorry to interrupt, and that's not the story. Oddly enough, you know, these people should take a step back and look at their own actions. But no, they want what they want when they want. It's like the Veruca Salt syndrome. Oh, I want it now.
I want it now. Yeah, and that he actually talks about that in the special, but again, that's all being overlooked because he said something bad about he's basically saying gender matters, and man, that's the wrong thing to say. You cannot say that.
True.
Even though it's a fact.
This is an apple. Mm-hmm. Some people may try to tell you it's a banana, but this is an apple. Some people may say banana, banana, banana over and over again. Some people may say banana and put it in all capital letters. But this is an apple.
So that,
thank you, CNN.
Yeah, no kidding. And so this this person that committed suicide, their family, his family came out yesterday or this morning, and they're supporting Dave Chappelle again. And here's a quote: "Dave loved my sister. His entire set was begging to end this very situation."
Yes. Tragic and unnecessary and stupid and vicious.
Yep.
Well, what else can we say? I think we should leave it at that, shall we? Yeah. But thanks for bringing that up. I'm glad that we touched on that last part of it. Let's go to back to the phones. Let's go to Sean. Or I'm sorry, not Sean. Don, listening in Alpena, Michigan. Press the Don button, Cyrus, please. Welcome, Don.
Hi, Patrick. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I never thought I'd be calling you in a million years, but here goes. I'm glad I stumbled upon you. I was raised a Christian Scientist.
Okay.
So, I mean, I just feel like my whole religious life has been screwed up. Mm-hmm. I married a Catholic who wasn't a practicing Catholic, and we had children and got divorced. I'm married to another Catholic now who's also not a practicing Catholic. Okay. My daughter was baptized Catholic, but she's never gone to church or learned about it or anything.
Okay.
She's having a baby, and she's due in February, and she had artificial insemination done with a donor.
Okay.
And I'm at the point right now that I'm kind of just worried about all of us, especially the baby. I don't know if the baby can be baptized.
Let's start there. So even though in vitro fertilization is immoral and it's recognized as a serious sin by the Catholic Church, the child is entirely innocent, and the child has an absolute right to be baptized. So there's no taint on the child. There's nothing wrong with the child. The mother made a bad decision, but the child did not. So there's no question whatsoever but that child should be baptized and loved and accepted like any other child.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So if the baby was brought to a church, they wouldn't be asking, like, who's the father, and looking down on us. Once they know that we're not even really Catholics, or, you know, I feel like we're just heathens at this point.
No one's going to look down on you that way, and shame on anyone who did. So my advice, Don, would be, if you're not already frequenting a parish, a Catholic parish, then find one near you and start attending and go to Mass. And, you know, I'm assuming that you're not a Catholic now, is that right? You have not become Catholic?
No, I'm not a Catholic. I was baptized a Lutheran, and then my mom switched to Christian Science, and that's how I was brought up. And
so you've got the teachings
of
Mary Baker
up.
Eddy. I get it. So you have Mary Baker Eddy to thank for some of those problems that you are dealing with. Right. So here's my advice, Don. Number one, keep listening to this program, because we're here to help you and we're here
and
to
I
fill
found
in.
You. I just mm-hmm. found you from driving. I just fell upon you a few months ago, and, you know, I just am drawn to the church, and I just don't know how to go about it when I have like a lifetime of confessions I would have to make.
Well, that's okay, and that can be done, and the time will come, and hopefully not too far from now. So you can be received into the Catholic Church. A good idea right now would be to get enrolled in the RCIA program at your local parish. And RCIA stands for Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults. You know, my advice would be, because they're a bit uneven. Some parishes, the programs are not so good. Other parishes, the programs are good. So my advice would be to maybe ask some Catholics, you know, is there any church in the area that tends to be more traditional? And maybe go to that church first to see what they've got to offer. But if you get into the RCIA program, you can begin to get some of these questions answered. We're going to do that for you here on Relevant Radio. So if you will listen on a regular basis, we can help a lot with that. So that would be another thing. There is there is also, by going to Mass on Sunday, a great deal of comfort for you there. You're not going to be able to receive communion yet because you'll need to wait till you are received into the Catholic Church. But when the time comes and you get close to coming into the Catholic Church, that's when you'll have your first confession. And don't be scared of it, okay? This is a very great thing for you. You're going to experience tremendous spiritual benefit. And yes, it'll be maybe embarrassing or difficult to talk about things that have happened in your life, but Jesus loves you and he wants you to be happy, and he provides the sacrament to help you get on track, get right with God. So when the time comes and you're going to make your first confession, do an inventory. Sit down maybe with a pad of paper and just go through a good examination of conscience. You can get these, for example, the Fathers of Mercy. Fathersofmercy.com is their website. They have one that they'll send you for free, I believe, and you can go through that and just examine your life over the years and say, in this category, what of these sins have I committed and how many times? And if it's a sin that you've just lost track of how many times you've committed it, just say that. Just say, I don't even know how many times. But over the last X number of years, it could be hundreds or thousands of times, I just don't know. The priest will totally understand that. And give an honest accounting to God of the sins that you remember, all the serious sins, and go through every category. Go through pride, and go through chastity, and go through gluttony, and go through all the ways in which we can sin. And just give them, you don't have to give any unnecessary details, but just say the number and kind. And be truly sorry for your sins and have the intention to not sin anymore. It doesn't mean that you won't, because all of us sin at some point. But if you have what's called the firm purpose of amendment, that you really do desire here and now never to fall into sin again, that's what else you would want to have. You'll make a good act of contrition where you will say to the Lord that you're truly sorry for all your sins because you love him. And because you don't want to offend him, the priest will grant you absolution. And when you hear those blessed words of absolution, Don, you will know with absolute certitude that you have been forgiven of all these sins and they have all been wiped away by Jesus' love for you. And
oh,
then,
boy, okay.
Yeah, see, it just gets better and better. And then you'll be receiving the Holy Eucharist.
What about my daughter? Mm-hmm. I mean, is she already considered a Catholic? If she was baptized a Catholic but never really was a Catholic?
Well, she is technically a Catholic, yes, but she would also need to receive the other sacraments of initiation. So she would at some point...
Is she a little higher than me, though?
How old is she right now? Okay. So, no, she's not higher. In other words, the church doesn't look at you as lower or higher. You might want to think of it maybe in terms of closer and farther. That might be another way to look at it. If you're... Let's say that you had not been baptized. You would be further at a distance from the church, but you can close that gap by being baptized and receiving the sacraments. Your daughter, who is baptized, would need to make a good confession also, and then she could begin receiving the Holy Eucharist. She should also be confirmed. That's another sacrament of initiation. But all of these doors are open to you, Dawn. They're wide open to you, and the church will welcome you and your daughter with open arms. So please don't be fearful.
All right.
Okay? You can do this.
I'm mostly concerned about the baby. I want the baby raised right. So.
Right. That's very good. And so by your getting to your parish, find a good traditional parish in the area. Get registered there. Get in the process of preparing to come into the church. They will welcome you and help you. And then you'll be able to get that child baptized. Even maybe before you're welcomed into the church. That's another glorious thing as well. But keep listening to this program, Don, and on Relevant Radio. We're here to help you. Thank you very much. We have to end, but I'll be with you again soon. God bless you.